This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. Adult Christmas morning. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Draft day.
First round draft day, anyway.
Let's go.
From Pittsburgh, PA. Todd Wishnev, Pittsburgh resident, has already said he's going to flee town for a few days. Not go to the River Sportsbook. Go to a little one out of town.
I'm still looking forward to seeing the duck.
The world's largest inflatable duck, mm-hmm. Sam Ginsberg, another Pittsburgh resident, informed us about. Cannot wait for all of it tonight. And if Daniel Jeremiah's last mock draft, which came out yesterday, let's just say it happened exactly his way, it's going to be a pretty darn good draft.
I'll take it. That's how our text went, right? It was like, I'll take that. I'll take that. Small winner, let's get out of here.
Book that right now. Yeah. Let's get out of here. We look forward to talking. We'll get into Jeremiah's draft, actually. We'll talk to Mike Renner from CBS Sports about the NFL draft. Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown, on the National Football League draft as well. No longer bettable in the state of Nevada. They have that 24-hour rule. I think I misspoke yesterday because they used to be the midnight before.
I couldn't remember when you were
now
saying.
Now it's 24 hours.
Yeah, I couldn't remember either. Because, of course, I went to put in some stuff last night. And I was like, where's all the draft stuff?
My bad. 24-hour rule here. But it's available in some states still. And so we will talk NFL draft heavy with those guys. Zach Cohen on the NBA playoffs. See if he's got any clay court tennis left on the day. And then how about some MLB awards?
Yeah, man.
Let's look at manager of the year, among other things. And then, of course, it is a Thursday, so you know what that means. Unscripted with the Crack Band, Bill Krakenberger back in studio. Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen, Bill Krakenberger of the bookends of the guests, of course, on the show today. And I'm sure Crack will have much to say about Caesars taking over operations over there at the Westgate. I know he has said as much on his podcast. I briefly talked about it yesterday, too, so we'll get into that, among other things. So it's not scripted, but I'm guessing that's what we'll talk about. Real quick, let's do the tennis first, because I want to get these out of the way, because I can never tell when they're going to start on the men's side. So they're in Madrid. We're now in clay court season. Before Madrid, I was like throwing out a pick, and then like one more pick the next day. I was waiting a couple more days to throw out another pick, and I was getting just the victim of small sample size picks. Just losing everything. And then yesterday, starting with Madrid, which is the ramp up, Madrid, Rome, Paris. I had five picks, went 3-2. Sorry that the two here on the show lost. It pays to be a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks. Today I have eight. Four on the men's side, four on the ladies' side. Now on the ladies' side, these are all done or in motion. We are 3-0 on the ladies' side with Angelina Kalinina pending. So +124 dog on Christian hits over Saro Dubceva. Galfi, +168, hits straight sets over Kalinskaya. Sampson, +104, hits over Xin Yu Wang. We're trying to get Kalinina home for the women's sweep. The first men's play did lose. Martin Fucsovics lost in 3 to Pablo Carreño Busta. So that's our 1-0 on the morning so far. So we're 3-1. Galfi is also a winner. So 3-1. These are the three that remain.
Damn.
As we try to get to 4-1 with Kalinina, these are the three that remain on the men's side. Juan Manuel Cerúndolo. He's the brother of Francisco Cerúndolo. Kelly, you know that.
Yeah. All right.
Juan Manuel has a great clay game. He's -135 versus Daniel Altmaier. Sorry, these aren't the sexier ones. Gael Monfils, you could actually get it a better number than I did. I think about 15 cents better than I did. He's taking on Camilo Hugo Carabelli. This is the Monfils, I think you have one last clay court season in you play where it's like, this is it for him. He's 39 years old. It's his last year. This is his last clay swing. He's only won like six matches in the last calendar year. Mm. And he's the guy, remember, if you're a bettor and you bet on him and you lose and you go after him on social media, he will post a video and tell you how dumb you are for betting on him because he's 30. He's like, I'm 39 years old. What do you expect from me? You bet on me? Who's the stupid one, me or you?
That's pretty good.
And then the American serve bot, Riley Opelka, who I wouldn't necessarily play on clay, but this is a fast clay as clay goes. So I'm on Opelka because I think that serve will actually be a weapon today against Nikolai Budkov-Kayer.
That's how you spell that guy's name? Nikolai Budkov?
Yes.
Kair?
I don't know if it's Kair. I'm going with Kair. Okay. I'm going with it. Don't hold me to that.
I won't. Don't worry. Okay. Because I have no idea where to even start on that.
All right. So Cerundolo, Monfils, Opelka, the ones that remain today. As far as the NBA last night, let's get into the NBA before we'll go full ham on the draft here coming up in the next segment. But I just want to get to the NBA plays tonight. Last night, not much to talk about. It was the 2-1-8 games, Detroit and Orlando, which was actually, you know, Detroit led by as many as 8 in the first half, but it was 46-46 at the half. And you were like, oh, Orlando's playing them pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I played Orlando plus 8.5 in the contest. And then the Pistons started the third quarter with an 11-0 run that extended to a 30-3 run to go up 76-49. Remember, the halftime score was 46-46. At this point, I texted both Kelly and Danny because I couldn't believe the broadcast wasn't making a bigger deal about this. I thought Mike Breen was a little too nonchalant about what was going on. The record for the biggest margin in any quarter in the history of the NBA. Remember, this was a 30-3 run to start the quarter. The record, because I was curious, is 32. And they were at 27 at this point. I'm like, well, what are we watching here? Anyway, they end up winning the quarter by 22 points. They suck. And, you know, 38-16 frame, if you will. They're up 84-62. It was academic from there. 98-83. The Pistons cruise to a 15-point win. Cade Cunningham controlled the game. 27-6-11 that series. Knotted up at one apiece. Orlando got their split, though.
Yeah, this is one of those, Gil, where I'm like, hey, going forward with this series, it's like, what do you take more away from? One quarter from the Detroit Pistons or seven from the Orlando Magic?
That's exactly how I look at it.
And for me, it's a little bit more, that was the Pistons' third quarter, right? You saw the Pistons come alive. You saw the Orlando Magic, I think, sink back to kind of what they really are. But look, this is... spin ahead to game three. I think the series gets interesting when Detroit's got to go on the road, right? Orlando still grabbed one in Detroit, so we'll see what they can do on the road now. I'm not going to be trusting them on the side. I think last night, though, great example of this series of, man, you're not going to be catching me betting an over anytime soon. And with this being the early tip on Saturday, I think it's going to be back to the under. You're looking at 219.5 last night. It's down, it's
not
like
even close.
214.5 for game three. Yeah. I think I'm still going to be under that.
181 points of that game scored. That game was scored yesterday. The second game was the first NBA playoff game I didn't watch a whole bunch of. OKC and Phoenix. OKC led by as many as 9 in the first quarter, but they only led the first quarter by 1 point. And then the Suns hit a bucket to go up 32-30 at the beginning of the second quarter, and that, Kelly Bidlin, would be their last lead of the game. OKC led by 8 at the half. They outscored Phoenix 35-20 in the third quarter. That was kind of the story of both games last night, the big third quarters for the one seeds. But in that run to lead by 23 at the end of the third quarter, 100-77, Jalen Williams, hamstring injury. Yeah. That's big. You know how hammies go. So we'll see what the story is for OKC. Thunder win it, by the way. The Suns did get kind of close-ish. They got to 110-100 with just under 4 minutes to play. So it was a little bit hairy at one point, but not that bad. Thunder win at 120-107, never really in doubt. They do not get the cover as a result of that Phoenix run at the end, though. Phoenix gets the money. SGA 37-5-9, Brooks 30 in defeat for the Thunder, and for the Suns, and he handled it as well as ever. So Thunder up 2-0 in that series against the Suns. It's hard to see the Suns winning a game here.
It is. Yeah. And look, there were some really bad officiating moments in that game last night, but my God, it is the Thunder's ability to get under these guys' skin and just everybody, like, I mean, all season long, the past couple seasons, it is star player after star player complaining after games. Some were rightfully so last night, but tell me you're getting on tilt a little bit when you play the Thunder when you can't control yourself post game anymore and not bring up something about the officiating. So, like, you, the headline though, absolutely. I think this series, okay, maybe the Suns steal a game or something. I really don't think it's going to be any more than that. I'm kind of with you. I think we're heading towards a sweep, though. It's Jalen Williams. It's a night after Wembanyama with a concussion, but concussions, we know, a little less concerning long-term for than a hamstring strain. Look, this is something to watch out for. And we've talked about it. We've talked about this Thunder team. They got pushed by Denver last postseason. We've had questions about them heading into this season. And as dominant as they've been, and much of that throughout this regular season without Jalen Williams, if you remove a chess piece off the board for OKC, right, when you get to Denver, when you get to San Antonio,
it starts
to get more and more interesting. So something to keep our eyes on here.
Triple header tonight, game threes. We're back. We are now in Atlanta against the Knicks, series tied at one game apiece. The Knicks are 1-point road favorites, totals at 216. Cavs are up 2 on the Raptors. We're in Toronto, I should say, for the first time for game 3 tonight. Cavs still a 3-point road favorite, total 222. And then the Nuggets and the T-Wolves, game 3. This is the one I think most people are looking forward to tonight. Nuggets are 2-point favorites on the road. The series tied up at 1 apiece, total 234.5. This after Jaden McDaniels was like, hey, we're just going to go at all these poor defenders.
Including you, Aaron Gordon. I hope you heard that, man. One of the best defenders in the league. I hope you heard that. Yeah, my ego might be getting a little in the way on this one, Gil. I'm not going to lie. I have series bets on Denver and New York. New York, I'm kind of sitting on the sidelines tonight. Denver, I'm going back in, especially after those comments. Anthony Edwards, like, he's still like, had a great game, but like, he's still pretty obviously banged up. And like, the guy that you rely on so much offensively, still struggling to come along health wise. I've got concerns about 41% from three for Minnesota. Can you replicate that again? The one thing Denver has to do, they're getting killed on the glass, and it's leading to easy runouts for Minnesota. Gotta stop at interested to see if they can. Easier said than done, obviously. One thing with the trends, if you are into this stuff, on the road this year against the number, 24-17 for Denver, Minnesota 18-23 at home. So kind of got that going for them. We'll see. Big game tonight. I can't wait for it.
No play on the game itself?
No, I'm on Denver
you
money
are on
line.
Denver.
I'm Denver money line. Did I not say that part? Sorry.
The ego perhaps in the way.
Yeah,
play.
Yeah. That's right. I have serious bets. I probably should just be riding those.
NFL draft. Let's do it. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander. My little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, right there to my left, to your right. You know, Matt had so many draft plays that we failed to mention, my bad, that he is hosting solo today. Was it the run-up to the draft or during the draft? What is he doing today?
Leading up to the draft.
Leading up to the draft.
Countdown to the draft from 7 to 8 Eastern here on VSiN.
7 to 8 Eastern. Mm-hmm. The draft itself begins at 8 Eastern with the...
At Humans and Tim Murray.
With the Las Vegas Raiders on the clock. By the way, are the Raiders going to use their entire clock tonight before picking Mendoza?
I was going to say, Matt, like that bet's not dead yet, you know? Card's not in.
Why do teams with the number one pick that have... There's no doubt who they're picking. Please do not use the whole clock. Let's get this thing going, Raiders.
I'd be annoying, too. I'd be like, let's see if somebody calls. And you just get a ridiculous.
Let's see if someone calls.
Maybe those Chargers are finally giving up on that Justin Herbert fellow.
Here's Matt Brown, by the way, speaking of the host of that countdown to the NFL draft. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
This is Matt Brown eating the cake that you were just talking about.
Yep.
That cake's width, roughly the size, roughly the width of Matt Brown's torso, as you can see.
Biggest piece of cake I've ever seen in a restaurant. Yeah. This is over at Durango. Hung out with Darnell.
He looks very focused.
Darnell did not come to dinner with us.
How do you do that from the top and not topple that thing?
So this is where I think the picture came in. I was like, you start on it, man. I don't even know where to start on this. Because, yeah, you see the plate? You see how small the plate is? Otherwise, it's like topple it over on the side.
Okay, why do we have this many tweets from the last break?
Oh, it's definitely burger-related. I haven't even looked, but I just said it's going to be burger.
Matt McCann, the best Super Bowl commercial was for Tabasco sauce, a guy in the L.A. swamps eating pizza and loading it with Tabasco, waiting for mosquitoes to land on him. After they bite, they fly off and explode. I vaguely remember that.
Hmm.
Jason McKinney, Tabasco made by the McElhaney Company from New Iberia, Louisiana, also makes picante-flavored sauces and jelly. How about that?
Are you a hot sauce guy in general?
No.
Okay, so you can't answer this question. But this is like the standard restaurant choices these days are like Tabasco and Cholula. Cholula every time for me.
I think people who say how much they like hot sauces think that they're cool because they like hot sauces, and all they're doing is ruining the flavor of the actual food itself. Thank you very much. Rob L., market just took off on Ty Simpson to the Rams at Kalshi. Does somebody finally know something? Remember, this was the play that Felica suggested both on the Beating the Book NFL Draft podcast and here on A Numbers Game. Ace de Cardano, here you go. Five guys all day over Shake Shack. I've disliked Martin's potato rolls my whole life. Now they've gone international. Michael Salvino, I remember Elaine Bennis named a name. That's a Seinfeld reference? I don't remember what she named. I went to Tufts. It was my safety school. That's what I remember from her. Uncle Buck, can tell Kelly was born late 80s, early 90s with not understanding the 57 tap to get the ketchup out. It's science. Last time I got a fat burger was at 2 a.m. walking distance from Cosmo. Yeah, you always got to get a fat burger at 2 in the morning.
There you go.
2 in the morning, got a fat burger. Jason Smith, Shake Shack Scottsdale has a drive-thru, just saying. Bam! Kelly Bidlin.
Ryan Pineda clapping back at me, too. But most of the crew has not seen that before, so most of them don't, okay?
Oh, now you rely on the crew to back up your point? Well,
I'm going to go try a Freddy's Burger at
crew,
some point.
I think he's using you for when you corroborate his argument.
That's correct.
I'm trying to turn the crew on
you. Absolutely correct.
Vegas Vice. Styles is favored to go over 5.5 at Bookmaker. I trust the market more than the reports, quote-unquote, that the Titans are going to take him at 4, although Robert Saleh probably wants a defensive player. Vegas Vice, that's a great point. I trust markets generally more than these supposed mockers as well. I agree with you, but I agree with your second point. I think Saleh is hell-bent on a defensive player. Trojan Ram, FYI, there is a drive-through Shake Shack off Warm Springs Road and Durango Drive. Stumbled across this gem after picking up some happy juice at Lee's Discount. Their drive-through Shake Shacks, Chris Heath, In-N-Out Burger in Mill Valley, just off the 101 North, has never had a drive-through, a standalone In-N-Out. I know that 101 North In-N-Out. The fries still suck.
Where do you fall on In-N-Out?
Oh, In-N-Out is fast food, dude. Come on.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I kind of hate how many people come out west and they're like, I got to go to an In-N-Out Burger. I'm like, you really don't.
If you're a real Bay Area person, though, Nation's Burger over In-N-Out. Mm. If you know, you know.
I do not. I haven't seen that.
Crimson Bets. The shock of the draft is going to be Jordan Tyson at 4. Watching the Titans last year, the biggest need was a wide receiver who can catch the ball, and the Titans like Tyson. Crimson Bets, if you are correct on that, you are correct. It will be a shock. Bentley, guys, it's simple. If you go to McDonald's at noon and order a burger, that burger was made before you pulled up. Five guys, they start making it when you order it. Fast food versus burger joint. Yeah, everybody's all over this stuff. Chance Copperpot, yes, I'm specifically asking if the competition is making a difference on how they're picking things. So it's a follow-up to an earlier question. Ifrain C, don't forget the Whataburger menu offers pickled jalapenos, great side for a burger. Jim, James Hott, missed the first part of a show, but does Kelly know one of his favorite tennis players, Camila Giorgi, is making a comeback? Did you know this about Camila? I didn't know Camila Giorgi was making a comeback. Camila Giorgi, leaflet from Italy. And you should watch her tennis matches.
Yeah. I'm familiar.
And Just Win Bets, baby, our podcast buddy, says our latest guest was the great Zach Cohen. His segment is up. We love you guys. Thank you, Kelly, for agreeing, but can we get the crown jewel, a Gil Alexander appearance?
Oh, I get it. I'm not good enough anymore. Fine.
Wow. You can, absolutely. As long as you call me the crown jewel, I'll absolutely come on. Only if you call me that, though. Only if you call me that. Over Kelly, just to make Kelly mad. Kelly's like, I'm not good enough
that was
now.
Fun, that was fun. You're just using me to get to Gil, like everybody.
All right, let's recap the bets. Went 4-0 in tennis. It pays to subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, clay court season, I was just dipping my toe, and I'd play a match here, and then I'd play a match the next day. I'd skip a couple days. It just wasn't working that way. It wasn't very good. And also, it was because it's not only a victim of small sample size, it was also early clay, and the early clay numbers weren't manifesting. Yesterday, 3-2. Today, 4-0 on the ladies' side for overnight bettors at VSiN.com/picks. Subscribers, Christiane, plus 124. Bang. Angelita Kalinina, plus 108. Bang.
Jay Quellen.
Dal McGolfi, plus 168. Bang. Laura Sampson, plus 104. Bang. Not so much on the men's side to start. Martin Fucsovics was a loser at minus 105 versus Pablo Carreño Busta. And now, with the two going on right now, last I looked, Cerundolo was up a break, and our boy Monfils was down a break.
Not Francisco.
Not Francisco. Juan Manuel. And yes, as I look at it right now, Cerundolo is up a set, but Monfils is, well, it's deuce, but Ugo Carabelli's up 5-3 in the first. Me and Zach are both on that one. The only one that still is yet to be played, Riley Opelka, the American serve bot, at -125 versus Nikolai Budkov-Kayaer. And again, it's fast clay. As far as clay goes, it's the faster clay. That's why the play is on Opelka. If this were slower clay, I would never play him. Reds most wins March-April. This is our day, Reds backers, for March-April, where we're just rooting against the five teams around us. Dodgers, Padres, Braves especially, who start this morning, and then the Cubs and Yankees behind us. Just lose, everybody. Lose. We are idle. Mason Miller and El Cy Young still posted here at 40-1, and Yannick Sinner to win the French Open at -120. And then all my draft bets, for God's sakes, look at these. David Bailey, second overall pick, +230. Get that home. We're starting a good day. Jordan Tyson, second wideout selected, -125. I don't know. Might lose. Kenyon Sadiq, draft position under 15.5. I'd love for that to be a winner. Caleb Downs, draft position over 9.5, +164. Would love for that to be a winner. Ty Simpson, draft position under 24.5. Who knows? 3-1. Reuben Bain Jr., draft position under 8.5, +195. Who knows? Vega Ioane, draft position over 14.5. Got to get that home. Jeremiah Love, under 5.5, -170. Dylan Thieneman, over 17.5. Caden Proctor, first O-lineman drafted, was the long shot at 12-1. Let's go. I hope the Daniel Jeremiah mock manifests and we can have ourselves a good day.
Yeah, man. NBA for me, Nuggets money line tonight, and then Pistons money line home last night, Celtics money line and Rockets money line in a parlay, three leg there, Pistons, Celtics, Rockets coming up tomorrow night. And I keep forgetting this is on the sheet, but shout out Gil Alexander, Yannick Sinner, to win the French Open at -120. Draft bets for me, Caleb Downs over 9.5, Kenyon Steak under 15.5, Ioane under 14.5, so we're oppo on that one. Caden Proctor, first O-line drafted, 14-1, and Carson Beck to be drafted in the first round in 100-1. Shout out, Will.
Man, do I hope you hit that.
It's going to be fun.
In fact, I hope you lose all the others and hit that one.
Me too. I'm completely fine with that.
I hope you go 5-0, actually. Zach Cohen, Karl Anthony Towns over 2.5 assists tonight versus the Hawks. Sandro Mamukelashvili, over 4.5 rebounds for the Raptors versus the Cavs. Evan Mobley in that same game for the Cavs, over 16.5 points versus the Raptors. Jamal Murray, over 24.5 points for the Nuggets versus the T-Wolves tonight. Also, his contest plays, not actual bets, but in our VSiN Killer Sports NBA contest, he's on the Cavs-Raptors over 219, just because of the static line there. And then Denver laying the 2 points with Minnesota. Zach also on Gael Monfils with me. Not looking good here in the first set versus Camilo Ugo Carabelli. He's also on Camila Osorio at even money versus Naomi Osaka. I don't think that one has started, but don't hold me to that. Don't believe so. Matt Brown, slew of 16 draft picks. We just went over them. There are 9 of them on the first page right there that you see, beginning with Arvel Reese and David Bailey, both at plus money to go second. And then these other 7 that we can flash up here real quick as well, to round out Matt's 16 NFL draft plays. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. You don't want to miss this. Caesars, Westgate, I'm sure he'll have something to say. Next, on A Numbers Game.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 3 of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Love you all. Really, seriously. Kelly, and I'll speak for Kelly. We are so grateful. We really do. I know I say we have the best listeners in the game. I really mean that. We have the best listeners in the game. Y'all are so engaged with us, and we appreciate it very much. I know I do. Kelly, though, is behind the glass right now because you know it's about to come. And I'll just let the RGB sort of introduce the segment at the Social Beacon. It says, guys, just got home from cataract surgery. Hope you're recovering okay, RGB. Is it perfect timing for some numbers game and unscripted with the crack man? I got back and watched the first 2 hours. I will go back and watch the first 2 hours. But first, the crack man. And he says, by the way, has anyone noticed K. Michael Bidlin has lost a few pounds? I think we have. We have indeed. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Hit it!
Billy.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Always something new in this industry.
Always something new.
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's show. I know we were texting the day it happened.
Yes. Thank you for that. Because you go ahead.
No, go ahead. What was that? I know we text back and forth a little bit.
We were referring to what we're about to talk about, obviously, is Caesars taking over operations at the Westgate. And yesterday, I spoke a little bit about it. We'll rehash it here. But what I was trying to get from you was, I was like, okay, we're down to nine different.
I didn't know we had that many.
Yeah, well, it includes, like, you know, the resorts worlds and the
places that don't take bets.
And the boomers of the world, right? Yeah. But it's nine. So I texted you. I was like, what's the peak? What was the peak here in Vegas? And you said?
I said around 20. And you said, wow. Well, I mean, I came here in 92. You got to remember, downtown, we had like six or seven alone. So just the ones that were down here were thinking of the Cal Neva, Leroy's, Lucky's, Nugget, El Cortez. There was many different books down here alone you can walk around to, which was a great spot to walk around for like NFL Sunday football props and stuff. What a great place to just anchor yourself. Then you have like six, seven different lines.
Amazing.
Which you don't now. I mean, obviously.
Even here on the Strip, the corner of the Strip and not Harmon, but Flamingo, right where Barbary Coast used to be. Couldn't you just go to like three different shops there on that corner?
My first time in town there, that I came in town, I anchored myself at Bally's. So Bally's had a book in the back. There was a Hi-Li room. Believe it or not, there was Hi-Li, real Hi-Li.
Here in Vegas, there was Hi-Li?
Yeah, there was Hi-Li.
Really?
Yes, yep.
Oh, wow.
So that back Hi-Li area, I'm trying to think, there was a sports book right there below that. It was a big sports book. It almost was like a dome you went into. If any of the guys that have been around that long can verify what I'm talking about, the Hi-Li and stuff, and there was, they had pool tournaments in there. That was a really good time in life, though. There was two places right across, right out the Bally's door. One was called Bourbon Street. And one was, oh boy, there was another one right there. There was three sets of lines within a couple minutes walking across the street. Back then, you can walk across streets with no problems. There wasn't the overhead ramps and stuff on walkways. But then you had the corners. You had Caesars. You had, of course, the famous Barbary Coast. Next door to that, you had Harris. And then you had, there was a little book inside of, oh wow, they used to have 100-time odds on craps there. Casino Royale, 100-time odds they had.
I remember that.
Yeah, no, they had 100-time odds there at Casino Royale. Then you had across the street, of course, the Mirage. There was just so many lines you had. Like I said, down here, even the building we're in right now, this space here, they had a Las Vegas Club was here. Do you remember that?
No, because I don't remember coming downtown. When
Las
I first
Vegas,
came to Vegas
Club. I don't blame you. Yeah. Las Vegas back then.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Club was right here. They had a sports book in the back area. You had the Union Plaza across the street, of course. There was so many sports books down there. There may have been, I'm going to say, seven sports books here.
Just downtown alone. And it occurs to me that there's some old schoolers listening to us who are like, oh, even before all that, they were named after horse racing venues, right? Churchill Downs and all those. There was like a bunch of those.
Yeah. So that was Del Mar, Churchill Downs,
right.
A Little Caesars. There were so many individual books.
So now here's what it is. It's BetMGM. And by the way, we're kind of doing this backwards, but right now it's BetMGM with all their spots.
Yep.
Caesars William Hill, all their spots now, including the Westgate moving forward.
I'm going to consider that the same book, though. That's two.
Yeah, that's two. Yeah. So BetMGM's one, Caesars William Hill's two. Stations three.
Yep.
Circa, where we do this show from, four. Then Boyd, which is sort of like the FanDuel knockoff, right? They don't take bets at all.
No. If you don't want to pulse, you get shot.
You know how much they gave me on Nikola Jokic, 100-1 to win MVP?
$7.
20 United States dollars.
Very nice of them.
South Point, of course. Thank God for the South Point.
Thank God for them.
Golden Nugget, Resorts World, and Boomers. That's it. It's a list.
Wow. Okay.
That's all of Vegas.
About half of them I wouldn't go to because I can't make a bet.
And we will get the Hard Rock by the end of next calendar year.
Yeah, and they have been good to me in Florida. Let's see how good they are here in Las Vegas. Florida at the counter. I'm told from people in Florida that they get thrown out or limited all the time. So luckily enough, I haven't – maybe because I only go a couple times a year, and they're very good to me. But
what we are referring to here, by the way, for those who don't know, I should probably have started it with this, but we're already talking about the aftermath with what's available to Vegas bettors. Or Nevada bettors, but Vegas bettors specifically. But Caesars, it was announced yesterday,
And a lot of people probably knew this in advance, but it was announced yesterday that Caesars is taking over operations at the Westgate. Your immediate reaction was what?
I couldn't believe that they were going to take over the day-to-day action, of the sports. Why do they need it? Why do they need another sports book on the Strip? Everyone, the goal for a lot of these companies.
Because Westgate, not on the Strip physically, is considered a strip.
Yeah. But the goal for a lot of these companies is to, listen, we learned this. If Atlantic City has taught us anything, these corporations put millions of dollars. I think of Bally's Wild West. Beautiful. They put beautiful screens, seats, boots, couches, lounge chairs. Screens are unbelievable there. They put all this money into the book. And it took them 2 or 3 months to say, oh, boy, we effed up.
Yeah.
Everyone's betting on the apps. They're not coming here. So 85% now, they say upwards of 90%. So if that taught us anything, they realized that people are going to be betting from the comfort of their home, their hand, the palm of their hand, or even the kiosk they put up there. We don't have to hire tellers. We don't have to hire management. We could just have a kiosk set up. FanDuel, just think about this. FanDuel was in Atlantic City, beautiful sports book. It took them 2 years to close. They closed up retail operations in Atlantic City. They kept the Meadowlands. Lots of action up there. Lots of people from a lot of different, coming over from New York at the time. Jersey was legal before New York. So they kept that, but they closed Atlantic City up. They said, this is a waste of money. We're wasting our money. People are betting on the apps. A lot of the sports books have done that. I would think even the resorts where we filmed action, DraftKings is there. It's a retail operation, but I would think they wouldn't even want it limited. They must have a great deal where they're keeping it open because there's nobody in there. They get the same crowd in there, and it is. They'd rather not have them there, put it that way. They'd rather utilize the space for something else.
Let me ask you about the Westgate specifically. So I mentioned this yesterday. Obviously, my personal history aside with them, these are human beings who have jobs, and they do their jobs very well, right? Jeff Sherman does his job very well. Everybody who works there that have been there, a lot of them have been there for years and years and years. Jeff over
20 plus
decades,
years,
right? And Ed Salmons, I believe, has been there for a long, long time.
Yeah, they were with Jay. From over at the what was the Link before it was the Link? I can't think of the.
I forgot already.
The Purple Casino.
Anyways, my point is this: is you never want to see people get scuttled for their job for any reason,
right?
But certainly not for corporate takeover when they have done their job so well over the years. And I'm just curious because we know how this goes, right? Corporations come in and they think they know everything and they do what they do and they want their people. This is not just specific to sports betting, right? Any industry, when people take over, just how life works, they have their people. But our little corner of the world is very specific. Do you think that there's any chance that these guys will be smart enough to say to themselves, you know what? Why don't we just put our little corporate heads aside for a second and realize that the people who are there now are the right people to run this?
Listen, I put a tweet up last night from my podcast. That's what I said. I said, do you think Caesars will be smart enough to keep a guy like Ed, keep a guy like Jeff, keep a guy like Art, keep these guys?
I swear I didn't even see that. Yep.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That was my tweet from my show. To keep these guys, you think they would keep them because they're the heart and soul of what made money for this book. And by the way, this wasn't a failing sports book. They made money. This wasn't a failure of a sports book. They made money. The problem is the decision makers at Westgate, and I say this doing my own podcast over there, knowing it sooner or later I'm going to be gone anyway, which is fine with me. No big deal. I don't care. You can throw me off this show. I don't care. Sorry. I'm being funny, though. But being serious.
I'll care, Bill.
I'm being serious, though. So it's the decision makers that come from first of all, Westgate is a timesharing company.
Yes.
They have timeshares all around the world,
right,
in Vegas. And so they buy this casino with this sports book, and they have these executives in meetings this is a hypothesis. I don't know this. No one told me this. You don't have to tell me this, though.
I think I know where you're going, and I agree with it. Yeah.
And they say, well, in slots we make this much per square foot, in table games we make this much, and in restaurants we make this much. Why aren't we making – we're making money, but why aren't we making this much in all the space we have in the sports book?
It's my hunch. That's exactly
what's
going on.
They don't realize that – I'm not even going to call it a loss leader because it's not a loss leader. They're not losing money. But it's really poker rooms, buffets, sports books. They want to get rid of them all because they say, oh, well, we're not making the money in there. they don't think about the extra income that's coming in because of the sports book. How about the guy that comes in and bets horses all day? His wife's playing keno in slots. How about the people that come in and have brand loyalty? Now they get residual income because they're putting their player card in and they're playing. And now they're coming back in the future and playing it again. And they built up a customer now because of the sports book.
Yeah.
But they don't even realize that. They just think that, oh, my God, we're not making as much money as the rest of the casino. When we come back from the break, I have a lot more to say.
More on this with Crack. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Again, our VSiN Pro Spring Special is in full effect mode. Get full access through August 1st for only $59. Daily best bets from VSiN experts, real-time betting splits, AI-powered props and matchup tools, 24/7 live video and full show replays, and the Kentucky Derby betting guide. All at a bag of chips. VSiN.com/subscribe. Bag of chips. Not sold separately, I should say. Auburnist on Twitter. Heard you say there were now only 9 sportsbooks in Vegas, but aren't there other online books in northern Nevada that are worth checking out? I thought I heard Bill mention Atlantis as a good option at one time. Others? Atlantis, yeah, that was the casino that used to put out baseball season wins before
Reno,
everybody
right?
else. Yeah, up in Reno. Yes, well, I'm just speaking on Vegas. 9 options in Vegas. Bobby Geddes, Fezzik Masters-esque take, I've never personally understood the love for the draft. Wow. The mainstream media just make up rumors constantly. That's 1. 2, he says, I've never heard of half of these guys until a week ago. 3, hard to get excited for someone who might not be relevant for 2-3 years or ever. 4, GMs are morons. 5, much harder to bet now. Well, that 5th point, you're right. I mean, that's where it's going. And he says, or maybe because I'm a Pats fan and it wasn't relevant for 20 years and now it is again. Will I still watch every numbers game segment? Of course. Thanks for everything, fellas. Thank you, Bobby Geddes. It's very nice of you. 2 drinks in. Thank you, Gil. Your tennis picks last night were money. Woke up this morning and had my first Schroeder's Cat experience. 3 for 3. Well, 4 for 4 on the ladies' side. And right now, looks like we're going to be 1 and 2, it looks like, heading into a 4th on the men's side. At least that's how it's early going. That could change as we're up a set and down a set in the 2 that are current. And Chance Copper Pot, says, you don't use hot sauce to mask the taste of something. You use it because you like the taste of hot sauce. If it's good enough, you're looking for something to put it on like a salted tortilla chip. May I suggest the Funk of 4,000 years by Hab? Well, that's the thing. If you say you like the taste of hot sauce, you're still messing up the food itself, though. Like, go have your hot sauce on something that's not great. We would have that debate. Darren Frazier, although I much prefer his stories about betting with old schoolers or getting an edge in sports betting, I could listen to Crack tell stories about paint drying on the wall and still be entertained. Crack is the best segment of the week on VSiN.
Thank you, sir.
Gil's guys, always great when the crack man joins. Great stuff, you and Gil. And then this is from Money Gun Guz. With the Caesars and Westgate change, do you or Crack think they will keep the football contest going or shut it
down?
Oh, God.
That's the reason why they bought it.
You think that's the reason why
they bought it? I think that's the reason why they bought it. Great. Whoever tweeted that.
Money Gun Guz, our guy from the contest.
Fantastic tweet because we were going to, during the break, we talked about it.
We did.
Just like when Binion sold with the World Series of Poker. But by the way, the whole building and the World Series sold for $30 million. Just the World Series just resold itself. Just the World Series for $550 million, like last year.
And what was the previous price? That and
$30 million. They got the whole building and the World Series.
And then the World Series just sold
just the World Series alone just sold for $550
million.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Super Contest is going to be giant because Caesars is going to market that brand. They really wanted that Super Contest. And eventually, and this is going to be bad for all the proxies. They're going to be upset I said this. Eventually, there's going to be a time where you have sports betting throughout the United States and I'm sorry, not sports betting, contest betting of these big contests, even Circa here, even the Westgate Super Contest. You'll have them nationwide if they have other locations, which Caesars does. Now, eventually.
So let me clarify. You will it be, let's just use 30 states, will be 30 different of the same contest or one contest for all 30 states?
I believe it'll be one contest for all the states, and Caesars has those locations to market that super contest
now. Laws would have to be changed, but yes.
Yes. Listen, they've been talking about it for years, so this may take another 10 years. Who knows? But I think eventually they love to have that super contest, and now they're going to have it, and they're going to market it at all of their strip properties here in town. They're going to, you know, it's the Caesars. It's sickening to say this, the Caesars Superbook contest. I mean, it really is. Now, Caesars probably.
God, even you saying that, it's a little bit of a wince. Yeah.
I know. And Caesars eventually will probably come together as the Caesars Superbook. But I think right now they're still keeping the same name, you know, the Westgate Superbook,
yes.
I believe.
Yes, they are.
But I'm sure, will it be powered by Caesars? Is that the
probably
way it'll
like
work?
That.
Something like that? Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's these independent books like Circa, like South Point, that's really the only two I can really think of offhand where the owners, Derek loves standing right behind us here at the corner every Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, he knows exactly what is on the games. He gets a report and knows what he's rooting for. So he's sweating games. It's great. I love it. It's an owner is actually watching the games.
South Point, they'll Michael Gaughan or Ryan. They'll
my next one is South Point.
Before the Super Bowl, they'll come out. What do we need? What do we need?
Not even before the Super Bowl. Every weekend they know what they're on.
Yeah.
You know, Michael and Brandon, his son, they know what they're on. They love it. You know, these guys get behind the counter once or twice a year and actually work the ticket punchers, because I made a bet and Brendan Gaughan was at the, you know, he was working the teller booth, the teller station when I was there for Super Bowl. So they love it. But these are outliers now. This is like very unusual. Bottom line is, I'm going to say that no one that counts the bottom line, they just don't care about having a sports book in their casino because they probably don't gamble. It's going to go back to what I said before about hiring people that gamble. If you don't gamble and you have a nice fancy college degree on the wall and you're much smarter than me in that, for sure, but I don't know if you're so much smarter than me when it comes to casino things, because I know the pulse of the business like you do and like a lot of these listeners do, because we gamble.
Yeah.
We're enamored in it. They're not. But they went to their fancy college. They got their degree in marketing, and they just see the numbers, and they say, why aren't we making so much per square foot like the rest of the casino? Where meanwhile, I'm telling you, Westgate was making – the Superbook was making money. Even after payroll, they're making money.
Well, also,
but it's the branding. It's bringing people in the room. It's bringing people in.
That's exactly right. We always say that about sports betting, that if you look at the casino revenue pie, right, sports betting is a sliver of that pie, single-digit percentages typically, right? Where it used to be, you know, it used to be the casino itself. Over the years, entertainment and restaurants have become a bigger slice of that pie. But sportsbooks have always been, we talk about it all the time. We have a network devoted to it. And that's what I always like to say. The reason that sports betting is so important is that beyond that pie, it serves as a marketing tool for the entire shop, right? So there's no network about slot machines, but there is a network about sports betting and on and on. What do we talk about? We don't talk about slots. We talk about sports. And the Westgate, that was their brand, right? They are known for that Superbook. So, yeah, it's the fact that there may have been, and we both have this suspicion, bean counters that were just like, not enough.
And they probably
hung it over those guys' heads for a long time, and finally they just said, well, we're going to Caesars. We're selling it away.
But now what do they get? A rev share?
I don't know.
How do they make money now?
Like, I don't know the deal.
Oh, okay, you just get a rev share. Now, that's another thing, Gil. I always said this, like, let's use a big company like Caesars. They have locations throughout the country. And I'm not just picking on Caesars here. It could be DraftKings, like FanDuel. It could be anybody. How does it work? And I don't know. Maybe someone can tell me here. Maybe someone that's listening can get a hold of me and tell me how it works. How does it work where, let's say I'm in Nevada here and I have UNLV. They're coming to town and they're, you know, I should use something even stronger than UNLV. But let's just use UNLV. It's all UNLV money coming in. And here in Nevada, the sports books that are the Caesars sports books that get a rev share, I'll use the Westgate, they have all one side of UNLV. However, throughout another 20 states, the other teams are being bet. So Caesars has to, they only have one line. The line's even a half point more. Even though they need the other side here, they still have, now you're getting an extra half point because the company itself, the corporation, needs that side corporate-wide all over the United States. But how does that work to the individual property?
It's the golden question. We'd have to ask someone like Eric Biggio from Caesars that exact question.
Yeah, Eric's a good guy.
And
I like Eric,
that?
Too.
I
even
like
though
Eric,
he doesn't care for me. But I think he cares for me. He just doesn't like that I go after Caesars a lot.
Well,
and he really has
Eric's
a good,
good guy.
He's a very loyal guy to his company. Tell you something.
Yeah.
Eric, my fine feathered friend, and he's a nice guy. I actually met him in a Panera one day. He came up to me. Really nice guy. There was a line from The Untouchables at the end. It was Robert De Niro playing Al Capone. You're nothing but a lot of talk and a badge. That's what he says. And that's a shame. It's a shame. You know, during the break, I said, Gil, you're unbelievable. You have this beef with Westgate. But yet you open the show and say, besides all that, these guys have jobs and career they built up. You mentioned a couple of the different guys there. Jeff, I like Jeff a lot. And by the way, I don't care for one of the other guys, but Jeff I like a lot. But I still, that guy can make a living betting. That's how sharp these back-of-the-house guys are. So for you to take that into consideration, and that just scares me. Isn't it scary even talking to Eric here? It's scary how they could just gone.
Well,
your career's over. All the money you've built up, your payroll increases and your raises, it means nothing now because the positions go away. I, when we come back from the break, I'll even use the offshore world in the 90s. We're paying people $150,000 a year to come down there. And then a couple of years, the internet came out and they got rid of them all.
Well, the hope is, and I think the expectation is, I would think you and I would both have this opinion, is even if Caesars decides to move along with their own people and throw those guys out,
yes,
that those guys will land on their feet. There are smart people in those other sports books here in town, maybe this building itself, right, who value the talents of those people.
I'm sorry, Gil. I'm not so sure.
You're not so sure.
I'm not so sure that they'd be paid what they're worth.
Oh, that's a difference.
Except a place like here. Circa would realize
yes.
it.
Yes. Circa would. More with Crackman. Unscripted. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.